You hear me now?
Yes.
Of course you hear me now. Thank you. God is wonderful.
Amen.
Awesome. We serve a supernatural God. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Thank you for those special, Victoria and Sister Ali. That was out of this world. It has to be supernatural. Everything that we do is supernatural. Tonight, so we are preaching to the young people and the not so young people and the ones that are yawning hard, like me. So I want to read a scripture right quick because I want to read the chapter here, 16 to 21, but we read the first one, then we can sit down and we pray, and then we can read the rest of it so we don't have to keep you standing. So anyway, I miss you guys. Did you miss me? I've heard your prayers. I know you miss me. Coming back was wonderful. It was just sunny sky, dry roads, no snow, and now you can look back and see what happens. I'm so glad because God always makes a way. If you trust God and you walk in the Spirit, God will make a way for you. You know, this is not an accident that happens, you know. Bringing this brother from coma, or brother Robert, you know, this should not be something, you know, surprising. This is your God at work. Using the children, this is what we're supposed to walk into, you know. It is something that we should see every day, not just here and there. This should be happening all the time. Amen. We should not be surprised, though. We should be in awe with our God. He's better, stronger, and greater than. He's the only God. Let us read Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 16. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit. And he says, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. That's probably one verse, but that has more meat than I don't know what. Yeah. It's a simple, but it's deep when we get into it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us together. We thank you for giving us strength, giving us health, Father, to giving us energy even to stand in this pulpit. Father, it's all you, Father. Thank you for giving us a desire of our hearts. We delight ourselves in you, and we are in awe when your hand moves, Father. When we pray, Father, and your hands move in the needs that we have, Father, we thank you. And tonight, we still, Father, want you to be in control, from the pulpit to the back door. Father, control my mouth, my move, anything that I do, Father. Father, and you deal with the hearts of your people, Father. The thing that you have put in my heart, I will deliver, Father. And we know that all things are good, Father. You are a good God, a faithful God. And you know something, what we need tonight, and we are expecting, Father, you to fulfill your word in our hearts today, the one that you purpose for today, Father. We thank you and we love you and we appreciate everything, Father, you do for us and your faithfulness, Father. Now, in Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I was thinking about, you know, it's a young people service, but then I realized, you know, wait a minute. When the rapture happened, you know, if I'm 70 or 80 or 55, I will turn back young, 21, 25. But you are going to get older. If you're 13, 14, and you had never been old, so I don't know how you're going to deal with that. I know when I was 21. I know what I look like. I know whatever. But you've never been that place yet. You're going to be surprised that day when you wake up and suddenly, whoa, your mustache and your beards, and you have to shake now. You know, things are going to be different. So, if the Lord comes soon, then I get young, you get older. What a deal. Anyway. So, Galatians 5, 16, 21. The title of our sermon is Keeping Step with the Spirit. Amen. So, this I say then, to walk, not only on Sundays, and not only on Wednesday. It is a daily walk. Amen. With God. It's always in fellowship with God. Every day, every minute, every hour of our life, you have to make sure you acknowledge God throughout the day. Not just when you come to church. See? In the spirit, see? And it says, and ye shall not fulfill the lust, the desires. You know, you will not fulfill the cravings of the flesh. For the flesh lusted or desires against the spirit. See? And the spirit against the flesh. So you have a fight within you. It's not, you're not fighting with me. You're not fighting with your wife or your husband. You're fighting with your own self. There is a fight going on. We're talking about the battle for your inheritance. It is right there, right there, right in your flesh. Amen. See? You are your worst enemy. Yeah. Your flesh is. So, and these are contrary to one and the other one. They're always in conflict, continuously. I mean, this is not just, oh, I take a break when I go to church or in the weekend. No. Even when you come to church, it's a conflict. You sometimes, you know, to get out of the house and get dressed. And before you get in there in the parking lot, fussing with your wife or your husband, you know. It is all a battle. Anyway. Because they are contrary to each other continuously. So, you know, it's a conflict. Like the Indian, the chief asked Brother Branham, you know, I have a conflict since I became a Christian. You know, there's something in me, you know, that is against me. So, what is it? Well, his brother Branham said, well, you know, the Indian said, it's just like a white dog and a black dog in me, you know, fighting each other. So he said, well, which one is going to win? So which one do you feed more? So it has to be a daily walk. The day you don't walk with God, the day you don't acknowledge God, then the black dog is going to eat you up. Because the only one that has the power to keep you and make you overcome is the Spirit of God. Amen. If we don't acknowledge the Spirit of God in our life, how are you going to overcome? Right. Are you waiting to, when you get in the situation and let God overcome, it's too late. You know, if in Puerto Rico we have a lot of hurricanes come through that island. But you don't fix your house, you know, you don't get your house ready and yourself ready for a hurricane when the hurricane is already on top of you, the storm. You do it before the storm comes. So you always walk with God, you always pray, you always read your Bible, at least that's the minimum, you know, we can do. So when those things happen, you have experience with God every day. So when the time you get to a problem or a situation, you're ready. You're ready to let go and let God. See? So that you cannot do things that you would. So see? God set you free. See? So you can decide to do his will. Before you could not do it. We were a slave of Satan. Like a puppet, back and forth. Whatever he wanted to do, we didn't have no choice. Now we are free. We have a choice to choose. Not to do that, and to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, because that is the end result. You know, God wants to manifest himself through you every day. Amen? Amen. That is God's desire. Satan don't want that. So it's a fight to stop you to manifest. That's God's plan from the very beginning. God in flesh once again. But Satan hates that. And that's why sometimes it makes you believe that you don't have anything to do that. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm worthy. Yeah, as long as Satan can stop you, he's winning. But if we walk in the Spirit daily, Enoch, the type of the bride, the Bible said he walked with God, and he was not. He walked every day, every minute with God. He was in fellowship with God, and he walked, and he worked, and he went to school. So one, he didn't have to worry about the rapture. When the time came of the rapture, he was not. Well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, you walk with God. You leave the rest of it to God. Amen. If you led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Traditions, you know, as the brother was talking this morning, they asked Jesus, why do your disciples don't do what we do? You know, they don't adhere themselves to Moses and the traditions and the law. Well, and then he gave him, got to the bottom. This is the answer. Because your tradition make the word of God of what? Non-effect. Good luck with your flesh. Good luck with your tradition. Good luck with all that because you're going nowhere. So, Paul is trying to tell him, you know, yes, if you live by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Amen. Of course we got lost in this land. You go over 55, you're going to get a ticket, you're going to get pulled. You know, we have to obey the laws. And God has some laws too. But the Bible said over here in verse 14, I kind of brought that verse forward because I left it behind. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even, I don't think it's there, 14, no. Well, you, thank you. For free in one word. Even is this, that thou shalt love thy brother and thyself. Amen. That sounds to me like the golden rule. You want to be loved? But you got to love. See? You want to be respected? But you got to respect. Because whatever you do to your brother, to your sister, to anybody there, is that way you want to be treated? Is that how the way you want to be treated? No. So the way you want to be treated, treat everybody else. So the law will be fulfilled in you. See, the law said, do not steal. If you love your brother, if you love your neighbor, you don't steal for your neighbor. If you love your brother, you will not kill him. You shall not kill. If you love, love is the fulfillment of the law. So we don't have to go around trying to fulfill a law. If you love, you already fulfilled the law. You are not under the law, under the traditions. Amen. So, 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. It's obvious. It's clear. Okay? It's not something that you can hide. You come to church with a halo and then you go, you cannot hide that. You might can hide from me and from the pastor, and from, but you cannot hide from God. No way. He says, they are clear and they are obvious. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, immorality, you know, indecency, impurity. You know, like it was in the days of Noah. All flesh has corrupted itself, and we are here now. Because the Bible said, like as it was in the days of Noah, it will be in this day. So we're here. You can see the world has corrupted itself. Idolatry, witchcraft, magic, sorcery, hatred, you know, that's enmity. Variance, that's differences, disagreements. Emulation, that's jealousy. You know, when you try to emulate somebody else, trying to copy somebody else because you are jealous of them, well, the Joneses have a new car. Let's go get a new car. Or whatever. Jealousies. Wrath. Oh, anger and rage in this nation and everywhere. It is happening already. Wake up. Wake up. We are here. What it used to be the future is now. Strife, you know, trouble, conflict, discord, contention, fighting. Not out there, sometimes even in the church. Because it comes out of there and then it just filters itself in the church. Seditions, that's treason. Rebellion. What happened in the White House? You know, they call it treason against the president. You know, rebellion. Young people, teenagers rebel against their fathers. We are here.
Yeah.
Hello. What are you waiting for? Something mystical and something supernatural? But it's here. If you open your eyes. But then the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. So either or is going to be obvious. You know, depending on the fruit that your life is producing, it's either this or that. We cannot serve two masters, and you cannot be in the middle. I don't want to be in the middle. Middle means lukewarm. I prefer that you be hot or cold. Then I can deal with you either way. But as long as you don't define which way you're going, I cannot define what I'm going to do. Meekness, temperance, against such things, there's no law. He said you can love as much as you want to in the Lord. And there's no law to arrest you because you're loving everybody. There is no law against having joy in the service. You can have all the joy. We're not going to call the police on you. There's no law. There's no law against gentleness, being kind, being goodness, faithful. You know, again, these things, you know, you can do as much as you want. Don't try to think that you're a fish and you're going to drink the whole ocean. You know, you can do as much as you want. And you don't have to worry about the police coming to get you and put you in the Looney Tunes tank or whatever they put you on. And they that are in Christ. Now, Paul summarized. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and the lusts or the desires of the flesh. You don't want to resurrect that guy anymore. Because he's going to be against you. He's going to fight you. You need to keep him down where he belongs, under your feet. But sometimes he resurrects once in a while in the congregations or everywhere. If we live in the Spirit, 25, Galatians 5, let us walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, that's our key verse for you young people. Either or. Wherever you decide to go, it will show clearly. Because you cannot fool everybody all the time. You might fool yourself all the time, but you cannot fool everybody all the time. See? 26, let us not be desirous. Desire, you know, desire some eager, longing, wanting to be something that we are not. You heard this already this morning. I wrote it in my notes this morning, so after before the service, but it's here. See? Because it's vainglory. When you try to be something that you are not, or wishing to be, or wanting to be, you know, then God gets no glory. If you are out of your position, you are out of your, and you try to take somebody a position for prestige, for popularity, for a reason that, well, I mean, it has to be the reason that is not God reason. If you are not called, if you don't have a gift, or you try to pretend, or you want to be, then he says, it's vainglory. Nobody gets edified. But he do this provoking one another. Why? Because you're trying to get somebody else's place. Or you're trying to do being in a place that you are not called to be, as brother was talking this morning. So what you doing? You're provoking. See? Because you start, you know, well, I don't know that brother. You know, I can do a better job. Or like you're talking about the musician, you know, I don't know how you guys live all this time without my talent, you know. How you come this far? Oh, come on, give me a break, guy. You're provoking is what you're doing. And envying one another, envying what we got. Brother Doug preached a sermon a few months back about coveting, you know. Well, envying somebody, you know, your neighbor and everything that he had. We used to work the way you said, but Brother Eli, I don't get drunk, I don't drink, and I haven't murdered anybody. And I haven't do this or that, and I don't commit adultery, of course. But what about murder? Oh, no. Well, what about character assassination? when you take someone, accuse them falsely, or say things that aren't supposed to say, and you assassinate his character. A pastor. You know, there's many people that leave this assembly, and the first thing they do, they talk about against you and us, and me and the minister. You know what? That's character assassination. Maybe you don't get drunk, but, you know, with alcohol and things like that. But we get drunk with the cares of the world. I'm going to get that in a minute. And such like that, you know. Of the which I tell you before, I'm on 21. I have also told you in time past. It says that they which do such thing shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. That's straightforward. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and a virtue, meekness, and a virtue of this one. So, let's look at drunkenness just for 1 minute. 1 Thessalonians 5. Therefore, let us not sleep as the others, but let us watch and be sober. Well, what should be sober if I don't get drunk? Because sober, you know, we use that word. You cannot be sober or drunk. Sober means to be restrained, to restrain yourself, young people, to be temperate. Temperate means to be in control. Okay? That's what sober means. So here it's saying, therefore, don't sleep. You know, the foolish virgin and the wise virgin were sleeping, and they were wake up. Okay? They were sleeping, not actually sleeping. It's just an illustration. They were not laying down and sleeping. But what happened, their conscience were not, you know, with what was just going on. All the stuff that's going on today, if you're sleeping and you are not with it, you know, you will miss just about everything. You don't sleep in the job. Sometimes, you know, yeah, you're talking to your friend and you're having in the coffee shop and suddenly you know, talking and see like he's not there or she's not there and she... While you're talking, she's probably in a daze. And you said, hey, smell the coffee. You know, wake up. Well, she's not sleeping. But what we're saying is she's not there paying attention. Amen. See, and when we sleep, we're not paying attention. We're going every day like everything is wonderful and nothing is happening. And the Lord's not coming. He says he's coming, but, you know, he hasn't. So we're just going unconscious of what's going on. It's not because it's not going on. It's because you're not paying attention to what's going on. Your eyes are closed to the truth. So sleep as the others. Now let us watch and be sober. So what is the bride, the wise virgin, what that they were watching? Well, for the coming of the Lord. See? Every day. Not just Sunday. Somewhere. Every day. Anytime. It could be in any minute. We don't know. Your people. So we must walk. No, we should wake up. It's a time to wake up. See? Because his coming is near. It's not time to, well, when this happened, then I wake up. No, too late. Like I told you, the storm is coming. It's too late to get your house ready and go to the store. There will be nothing on the shelves. Like this weekend, the shelf was empty with that storm. And says, therefore, let us not sleep as the others, but let us watch and be sober and restrain and temperate in control. Amen. You know, the foolish virgins and the wise virgins again. The wise virgins had oil, young people, and they had a lamp, right? But not only they had a lamp with oil, they had extra. See? The foolish had nothing. They figure you got extra. But you see, you have experience with the Holy Spirit, you know, and you get full of the Holy Spirit. But that's not the only time and the only way. I mean, oh yeah, I got the Holy Spirit 40 years ago. Okay, how that works. See, not only they was filled with the Holy Ghost and the Lamb was shining, but they had extra. So that means that every time they came to the service, they put their cup, I need some more. I got my lamb has some, but in case it goes low, I need another experience. What do you think it is okay? You know, you don't need to run around. This morning, the presence of the Lord, I'm sensitive about these things. I'm not saying I'm better than you. It was all over the place. See, he don't want to come with a lot of noise and, you know, a lot of things. I'm here. Wait, wake up. No. Suddenly, you know, he comes. But if you're not looking for it, what did you came expecting tonight? Well, I'm expecting his presence. But how do you expect to see him if you are not looking for it? Not with these eyes, with the eye of your heart. Fill my cup, Lord, tonight. I want another experience. Amen. The one that you had 40 years ago, that was good. You learned what the love of God is. But I want more and more and more and more. Because that is what's going to guide you and lead you. That's the power that is going to take you out of here. Amen. It's okay. Sometimes the service starts, music starts, the atmosphere gets going, and I hear some yelling and screaming. That's all right. You don't have to yell and scream. I'm not against it. Go ahead and do more. But you must do something. Open yourself. Yield yourself. Surrender yourself. God, I need another experience. 40 years ago was good, but I want more and more and more. I need some reservoir for me. So when this soil starts going down, 40 years ago, what are the experience going to do to you today? That all is gone. I mean, the hype of all that stuff. You might run the hour 40 years ago. Now you cannot run. You got older, so what are you going to do? Well, come to the service ready to get some more oil. Amen. Let the presence of the Lord, young people, to come and give you more. Don't sit there like, you know, hey, I'm here. No, wake up. I came because I want more of you. I came because I want to feel your presence, even though we don't go by feeling. I want to feel your presence. I want to live here, not the way I came. I want more. Don't you want more, Jesus? So, you expect it. And prepare for it. You want to walk with God, then you have to prepare yourself for these things. Mentally, spiritually. Amen. Say, for they that sleep, again, therefore, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. So, again, sleeping. It's not illustrating that we are laying down and sleeping. But we are not aware. We are walking, come to church, and we're not even aware of what's going on. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the church in the corner. You know, when you come to church, come alive. Come well. Fill me up, Lord. I want another experience. The one I had yesterday was good. The one I had this morning was good. But I'm here because I want more. And the more you get, it comes to the point that then we are here because you have enough power to get out of this place. And that power is in you to quicken you already. Don't sit there and entertain the idea that one experience with God, young people, is good enough. If you're not experiencing God every day, that Brother Branham says, you're backsliding. I don't have the quote, but I can look at it for you. If you are not walking with God every day, you are backsliding. We are. Luke 17:26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the day of the Son of Man. They did eat and drank. Merry wife, they were given into marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Well, there's nothing wrong in eating. That's a human desire anyway. Eating food. Intimacy is a desire. Security, working, money, so I have a house and I have to pay the payment and I be secure. That's it. That's flesh desires. Okay. I want to have a friend, a BFFA. That's a desire of your flesh. You shouldn't have one. You should have all of them should be your friends. Because what happens, you go to school and you choose ones and leave the other ones. If that's the way you want to be treated, then they throw you out of the clique and now you're with the rest of the one that you threw away and they don't want you now. Now you're in the middle. So treat everybody the same way. One time my daughter, Monica, came home and she said to me, she had a friend, I'm not going to mention the name, but she was kind of jealous and possessive. Monica was her best friend. And Monica could not be friend with nobody else. You are my friend, and I'm your, and that's it. And Monica, Monica's not that way. Monica's friend with everybody. And she was kind of sad because she got upset. Not my daughter, but the other one, because she didn't want her to do associate with nobody else. So that's what I'm saying. That's possessive. That's controlling. You don't want the flesh to control you. See? So be friend with everybody. Oh, I don't like that guy. He's a nerd. Well, be you know, the girls, you know, that everybody likes, you want to be in the clique. You know, I prefer not to be in the clique that everybody wants. I'm in the clique that rejected one. If I had to choose, I'd be in the reject section. See, the trouble with the world today, you know, as Noah, before he entered the ark, the people, they're thinking about everything else but God. See, when we get too much in the flesh, you know, we forget about God. Yes. Only when we come to church. But what about out there every day, in an everyday world with God? We are too busy, we're drunk with the cares of the world. Be careful. You know, I don't have no time to read my Bible. Well, I read it tonight when I get to bed. And they get to bed, you know what happened? You go to sleep. So now God takes a second place. He won't do it. So we draw with the cares of the world. It's not nothing wrong by eating and drinking. It's that's all we do. And sometimes it comes to church too. You know? There's something more important than the church? I don't think so. At least for me, church is number one in my list. And then if I have some time, I do the rest. I had the same testimony of Brother Doug. When I came into this message, when God put me in this message, you know, they thought I was crazy. They thought I was joining a cult. You know, everybody was researching where Branham and all and telling me, you know, be careful. And I said, okay. So, you know, we used to get together. Before that, we used to get together in the park, the whole family, sometime on Sundays for breakfast. The kids were kids. Those kids are 50 years old now. Yes, my first one is going to be 50 next year. There's no youngers anymore. In fact, I told them, you know, one of them is going to be 55. I said, oh, join the City of Citizens now, 55 plus. And she said, no, yes, you are. You arrived there. So they're closer than I am. I already went by and I'm going back the other way. So, you know, in the days of Noah, you know, all this happened and everything was destroyed. So the trouble with this is that people forget about God completely. I mean, for a time, we should never forget about God in our life. I know we have to work and do things, but as soon as you have a break, you know, go on, meditate on God. And you're driving in your car, do as much as you can. Okay, I'm not saying that you 24 hours, we have to work, we have to do other things, but don't forget God. In the midst of all that going through the day, because then you are drunk with the cares of the world, and you're not sober. Amen? So, and it gets to the point that nobody's listening to God, because if you're not looking for God, and God is talking, you're not listening, or we are not listening. So we get to a point that we get so involved that nobody's listening, and God is talking all the time. Amen. So young people, don't get too involved. I mean, this life is okay, but it's one better. We're not looking for a city in the world. We're looking for a heavenly city. This is not my home. You know, my home is in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:8, but let us who are in the day be sober. See, control yourself. Restrain yourself, you know, from the things that are displeasing to God. Okay, obey. You need to keep, and we need to keep our bodies in subjection. No, if you let the body go, forget it. Give him an inch, forget it. You're all the way in sooner or later. That's all the Satan needs, an inch. Amen. I'm not talking about you walking like Pope or something, like one of these people that in a seminary or monastery, whatever, with ropes and all day long, you know. That's why they go in the monastery, because they believe that's the way they stay away from the world. Well, how can you get tested if you're not there doing the fighting? But let us be the day, be sober, restrain, control, put it on the breastplate of faith, in love. And for the helmet says of what? Hope, the hope of salvation. Well, you can see the police and all the government, you know, people that work in law enforcement. There's three things that they have. They have a breastplate. You know, in case that somebody decides to shoot at them. They have a helmet. So they're protecting not only the head, the mind, but they're protecting the heart. And the last thing, they have a weapon. And you and I have a sword. See? You better get ready in the morning and put those three things at least. Okay? Why? Because Satan is looking for you. He's waiting for you to wake up so he can start again. And again, this is not going to stop until we change. See? So he said, put in the breastplate of faith and love. And Brother Doug talked last week about faith and love using the husband and a wife. A wife respect, and the wife will trust a wife, the husband, because the husband will love her. And will love her in such a way that he will not do something, you know, unbecoming. Something against her, to hurt her or anything. In fact, he wants to protect, he wants to supply, he wants to keep, save and security, so provide for her. So sometimes we see that if we are not in that, if we don't have the breastplate of faith and love, then what happened? Anything can happen. Listen, the only reason that you believe God is because he loves you. The only reason you trust God is because he loves you. See? Because love and faith go together. You know what? I have the faith to believe God because I know God loves me and he promised me and he will come through me. It's the same thing with a husband and a wife. She trusts him because he loves them. And the Bible says, love your wife. As you love what? Yourself. I care for myself. I don't like to be hurt. I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. You know, so I don't want to inflict that to my wife, right? So you should love yourself. You should love your wife even more than you love yourself.
Right.
And care for her. And look after her. Make sure she's okay, safe. See? Take the garbage out. Anyway. Whatever you need to do to help. So she will trust you when you say, honey, I love you, and there's only one in my life, and it's you. Anyway. And she trusts you. Why? Because you love her in such a way that you will not do anything. Anything. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. See? That's what she do with the bride. Because we know, and he knows, that our faith and love go hand in hand. You know? See? So, Brother Doug was talking about this, I think, last week. And the helmet, protection to your head, to your mind. See? The helmet has two, you know, purposes. To not let things in and to not let things out. Sometimes we just look about nothing in, but to not let the flesh out. Satan come and say, can he like play tonight? Just a little bit? Can he come out and play? No, he cannot play. Can you let the flesh do? No. So that helmet of salvation, God saved you and forgave you and loved you. And it keeps you every day. Now, you might feel that you know, Satan coming around with thoughts and you don't have to take your helmet. You know, that helmet will protect you, the helmet of salvation. He saved you. You don't owe him Satan anything no more. And he cannot come to bother you unless you let him. So that helmet will protect your mind. And then it also protects your thoughts in your heart. You know, protect your flesh not to go out and play. It's like a gate. You know, Abraham, you will possess the gate of what? Of your enemy. The man is the gate to your heart. But who needs to open or close that gate? God will not do that for you. You need to open. You need to close the gate. Put a helmet on. The thought will come. Let him fly. Let him knock. Let those bullets hit the thing. But don't let him in. Don't take that helmet. Oh, you don't. So, let's be temperate and self-control and restrained. See? Get up in the morning and get ready to fight. That's all. Put your helmet on. Get your weapon. And put your breastplate. And trust God because he loves you. And nothing will penetrate. Nothing will separate you. Nothing will kill you unless, see, he's protecting you because he loves you. And you trust him, you see, because he loved you first. Amen. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish now? Paul is just coming out to the bottom line here. Having begun in the spirit, and are you now made perfect by the flesh? See, flesh, everything that flesh do is temporary. Nothing that you can come with will last. In fact, this world is going to go to a change. What man has done all through a century, it has been destroyed. See, because whatever man can come with, it will not last. Whatever idea you got, whatever your plans are in your flesh, you can go ahead and try, but they won't last. Something will happen. But I like this boy. I think he's... Oh, I like this girl. I think it's the love of my life. I think my spirit and his spirit. You know, then you marry and then what happened? Yeah. But it won't last too long. Because you cannot make nothing last. You cannot actually plan. And life is more complicated than what you think, young people. You can plan, but you don't know what is ahead of you. Now, God is perfect plan because he knows everything beginning and end. And he can plan because he knows what's going to happen here and here. And he can provide for this, and this. And even you make a mistake, God use that mistake and make it good for you. I mean, but can you do that? No. You can say, but just so far. Then after that, that's it. I have made many plans. And after I thought I have a good plan, then I didn't plan for a risk or for something that I didn't know it was going to happen. I mean, I got along a few years ago, and I never get variable interest. I like to get fixed one, but in this one, it had to be that way. So I got one, and I said, and I look at everything, and said the economy and everything. I didn't foresee the interest going up. Now my payment has doubled up. I thought I had it all figured out. I was making double payments so I can finish it quickly. You know, $300 a month, I was making $600. Now the payment is $600. I ain't got nothing left. I mean, you can plan all you want to, but you don't know what's ahead of there. Life is too complicated. You cannot decide, you know, what's going to be, what's not going to be. I'm not saying that you cannot plan. You can plan. But make sure you pray about it. You know, always walk with God. Always ask God. I mean, you can plan and say, God, I got this. Like Brother Daniel was talking about. Daniel. In Spanish, it's Daniel. I mean, it's Daniel. I don't know. Anyway, my name is Eli, actually in Spanish. I came to America and they called me Eli. I met my wife and I said, my name is Eli. And she thought, I said, Ali. Now, Ali and Ali, it's just the where you're, you know, positioning the emphasis of the vocal. So she said, are you related to that boxer, Ali? No. She thought I said Ali. I said, no, Eli. Anyway. So are you foolish to start in the spirit? Listen, some of you left churches and left places because it was running the flesh. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was what? Man.
Yeah.
Now you come to a church that is run by the Holy Spirit, and now you want to do something else.
Right.
You want to go back to the flesh? You just left it. You wanted a church that was full of the Holy Spirit, that was guided by the Holy Spirit, and everything was done through the Holy Spirit. Now, what happened? Now we want to go back to the flesh?
Right.
But that's not the way they used to do it in my church, but go back to that church. Why did you left to begin with? Because you didn't like it there. So I'm saying, now we're going to go back to that? But you cannot go back to that, you know that. But you might go back to someplace else. But you know what? The problem is not the church. The problem is you.
Right.
Because when you make decisions in the flesh,
right,
you cannot prosper.
Right.
Make decisions. Oh, but I don't know. I should. You know, brother, I'm using it because that's the latest, you know, decision. He said he gave it up to the Lord and he prayed and all things fell into place. But that's what you do. You have to wait. And sometimes you have to wait longer than you think. When you see things falling in place, then you walk into that. But sometimes we do in the flesh.
Yeah.
I want this and I want this and I'm going to leave and I'm going to go someplace else. And then the next thing it happens, I don't know that place. I don't like that place. I don't know. I think I like it better here. Come on, I thought you made a decision.
Right.
Must have been in the flesh. Why would anybody do that? I enjoy the Spirit. I enjoy to bathe in the Spirit. I enjoy God to tell me what to do, when to do it, where to do it. You know what? That takes the pressure out of me. That takes the stress out of me. When you're stressed out, when you're in a situation that you look like people, you know, are disagreeable, when you get in a situation that you just feel like a depressed, and you know what that is? You make a decision in the flesh. Because when you make a decision in the Spirit, it's peace.
Right.
Are you worried, Brother Daniel? Are you worried about anything? The same God that did that will continue, right? See? Calm, peace, serenity. But when you get all worked up, go back and check again.
Right.
What kind of a decision you make in the flesh? And we start, and we move, and we start all over again. And we go back to the flesh again. We need to stop. Amen. We need to see what God has done in our life. And that He loves us. And it's not you keeping yourself. He's keeping you. So seek God in every decision. Then you will not be stressed out. Also time where the pastor said this and he preached this and he showed me all the quotes and he showed me all the Bible. And this is why this is this. But I don't agree. So who is in turmoil? Your pastor or you? No, you in turmoil.
Right.
Everything is going, oh, well, I cannot believe that. I don't know why. You can't even sleep thinking about it. But that's the flesh. That's not the Holy Spirit. See? We have already tasted of the goodness of God. Why would I want to go to the flesh? The flesh, the only thing it gets me is trouble. You want to go back to trouble? Then rely on your flesh. Make decisions in your flesh. Disagree in your flesh. You know, if the Bible said it, I do it. If you don't, I don't do it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, I'm getting a little bit preachy. Anyway, what is the truth?
Right.
You can tell, you know, people when they are stressed out because decisions they have made or things they have do or things they have said, or decision, choices they had taken, or, you know, position they took against something else. So if all that is good, why are we stressed out about it? Because God will vindicate that. See, if God is in my side and I'm doing something and it's God, God will vindicate that. Why should I worry about it? If you think you're right, just sit and pray. Let God vindicate that. But if He don't vindicate that, then, sorry, Lord. You know, brother, the message was talking about that if a man prophesy, you know, and it don't happen, he said, pray the spirit out of the man. You know, because you cannot prophesy and expect God to do it if it's you. But if God don't do it, don't vindicate that prophecy. Then he said, that's a bad spirit. Why do we want to go back to the flesh for when we have such more good things going on? Living by the Spirit. And Paul is urging the believer to use the freedom that they have in Christ to walk in the Spirit, not go back to the flesh. I don't want to go back to the flesh, to tell you the truth. I don't. I don't want to go back to my sinful desires of the flesh, because the flesh is enmity against God. And if I find myself butting God in such a way, then I need to stop. You know, people, if you find yourself that nothing is going right, stop. 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 Right. It's not going the way you thought it was to go. If the problem got bigger and worse, I'm, you know, stop. You know, and pray. Brother Brown says, the word became flesh. Let me check the time here. In India, he says, I believe it is on its road that when the church will be so wrapped in Christ, the Holy Spirit, mankind so away from their self. You got to throw yourself out. You want to live the Christian life and walk in the Spirit, throw yourself out. Don't let the flesh call, you know, the decisions. It's all right, you know, pray. You can pray, Lord, this is how I feel. But if that's not your way, please, shut the door. But just tell me and make it clear, because I don't want to miss it. And I don't want to do something that is against you. If you're going to tell me, I want it clear that I can understand. That's not a bad request. In the meantime, and sit and wait. Mankind so away from their self that they don't see themselves anymore. See, don't see themselves, they don't have no blind spot, but to serve God. That will be the only thought in your mind, in our minds. He says, and their thoughts move on. They refuse the things of the world. If it's a God thought, it will move on and produce exactly what that thought is supposed to produce. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. And refuse the things of the world. You refuse your flesh. I refuse to listen to my flesh. Oh, yeah, we get involved in some things and then we go by feelings or we go by emotions, your people. If you start doing that, just throw yourself out. Say, God, here I am. Empty. Fill me. Okay. Again, I don't want to walk that way. I've already been there. Maybe you guys are too young, but I've been there. I don't want to go back there. So I'm trying to help you with my wisdom. You don't need to go there. There's nothing there. You're going to lose your hair too early. I mean, guys. He said, they refuse the things of the world. Say, restrain, control, refuse the things of the world. And it's not your friend, it's not your wife, it's not your husband, it's you. It's not talking about your wife. Refuse her or refuse this or your pastor. It's you. They just move on in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, they move in the Spirit, they walk in the Spirit, so feel the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? We just read it, love. A person that fulfills the law of Christ is in love with God, in love with his people, in love with his word. You want to fulfill the law of God? Then love is the fulfillment of the law. You're in love with your brother. You're in love with your enemy. You're in love with those that said false things, that lies. Why do you think Jesus could do it? Well, it was love impersonated. And that is in you, and that is in you, and that is in me. And if you let it come out, it will do the same. But if you let the flesh out, you know, sometimes, let me finish this. Then the love of Christ in the human heart, moving in the Holy Ghost, the great wonderful church will go with power and deity, because deity will reveal in human being. That's what Brother Van says. Man and God are what? Deity. Ain't that what we're looking for? A walking God in flesh. You and God, the majority, you call the shots. But you have to be proven to get there. That's just not given. Victory is a fight. You have to fight yourself. Not me. He says, then the love of Christ in the human heart moving in the love of God, okay? In the heart. That's a law. See, because if you love your brother, you will not covet. If you love your brother, you will not tell lies. If you love your brother, you will not, you know, put him down.
Right.
If you love your brother, you know, your neighbor. The love of Christ, we fulfill the law in your hearts, in my heart. The great, wonderful church will go forward with power and deity. Now, we're looking for the power of the church. What is it at? Well, it's simple. It's that difficult. So, kill that flesh and let him rise up. Every day. It's not every Sunday. It's every day. And the more you do it, the more you get adjusted, and the more it becomes easier every day. It said, then, moving in the Holy Ghost, then the great, wonderful church will go forward with power because will be revealed in human beings. See, God will be revealed. That's what he wants. God wants to reveal himself in human beings, manifest himself. What does Satan want to do? The opposite. He wants to manifest the flesh and the deeds of the flesh. So what is going to be every day? Him or him? There's the only two choices. We will serve one master or the other one. We cannot serve both at the same time because we will hate one and we love another one. I choose him. I will try my best. And the rest I leave it up to him. It will be revealed in human being. Satan don't want that. He's afraid of that. And he knows it can be done. It's been done before. In the 12, in the apostles, and in other ones. God gave them the power, the source. Or cast them out. You know, do miracle, disease. I mean, God wants to manifest himself. The only thing is holding him is your flesh. It's not me. It's not your pastor. It's not your situation you get into. It is you. So don't blame anybody but yourself. And make it right. Get to pray. Power and deity, because deity will be revealed in human being. And this is the time. Wake up. Smell the coffee. We are here. What are we looking for the manifestations of the sons of God? What else are you looking for? That is all the thing that's left. The rapture, the manifestation of the rapture. You're going to have to sacrifice your all. You have to give your all. You cannot leave nothing behind. You have to open all the doors. You cannot hide anything. You want him to come in and take it all. He paid it all. He wants it all or nothing. Are you going to walk every day? Every day. Every minute. Satan's going to try to put a thought so you don't think about God. You know? Take that thought that wants to come and imagination, take your imagination and cast it out. Arrest it. He says, by the Holy Spirit bring to pass, he says, he will reveal in human beings by the Holy Spirit bringing it to pass. I mean, that's how I want to walk, the thought of their mind. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he give you the desires of where? Of your heart. And whatever you think, of course, I said, catch this one. Because the only thing you want to think is his desire in you. And if you desire in you, then it says it will bring that to pass. Ain't that the spoken word? All you have to do is think about it. And it happens. Listen, we are living below our privileges, people. When we're going to wake up?
Right.
And this is not just for other old people, for young people. You're in the same thing, in the same thing that we are too. Just because you're young doesn't mean, well, when I get older, then I know what you're talking about. No, I'm not that difficult. I'm very simple, down to earth. Amen. Holy Spirit bringing to pass the thought on their mind, that spoken word, without being spoken. Can you imagine that? See, we think, oh, I have to be in the position that when I speak, it happens. Well, what about your mind? Because I heard a prophet saying, you know, you can think, you can have a thought, and you're there like a thought, right? And anyway, your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your mouth. All you have to do is think about God, meditate in God, suddenly, whoa, here I am. Whatever you want, whatever is in your mind, and it will be the desires of God to be fulfilled in your flesh. It won't be the fleshy desires. He said, the Holy Spirit will bring it to pass to their mind. Amen. Matthew 10:34-39. Love, he said, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. Now, who read this morning? Huh? I don't know. I didn't call him to tell him my thought. He didn't call me. This is God speaking to you. I cannot synchronize this with God. He cannot synchronize the pastor with me. But the Holy Spirit can synchronize.
Right.
Amen. This is the second thing that I had to say that you heard this morning. Now I don't have to preach it to you. I just mentioned it and you go back to that. Whatever the pastor said, that's what it is. Love with the idea. See, think not that I am come to send peace to earth. I came not to send peace, but a war, a sword. For I am come to set a man in variance or against his father, and the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man foe, see, we heard it this morning, shall be their own household. He that love mother and father, he that loveth father or mother more than me, more than him, is not worthy of me. And he that loves sons and daughters more than me is not worthy of me. And he that takes not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. You got to die every day. You have to put that flesh in the cross and mortify that flesh every day and don't let it rise. It's a tall order. A man's foe shall be their own household. Oh, how funny. He talked about this morning too. Let me give you the rundown. What I think. Not what I think, but what God puts in my heart. Your problem will be with the one that you love, the closest to you. That's what he's saying. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be your pastor. It's going to be your family. And some people sometimes don't come to church because family is in town and, you know, he told you this morning, I had to forsake my family, my wife's family. Matter of fact, today I'm supposed to go to their house. They got together. I told them, Sundays is for the Lord. Wednesday is for the Lord. If you do anything, I'm not there. And I've been doing it for 30 years. Okay, so what happened? They got together today and I said, they're going to have breakfast and go together, family, and about 12 o'clock, okay, well, we might do it after the service, okay? So, we planned on that about 2 weeks ago. She told me about that, the 25th. But then I came to a meeting this week on Tuesday, and I was scheduled to preach. But that puts it down on our plans. So what happened? The day comes, and we still planned to go. But when I came today, I said, I can't. I told her after the service this morning, I can't go. I'm too stressed out to begin with. This thing will stress you out. Just start working 8 hours. I got to finish, and I got to do a few things, you know. So about 2 o'clock, it was, and then that's another thing. I left the parking lot at, you know, 1:13. And I'm not complaining about the brother don't take it out when I want it out. I'm ready for that because that's the only thing I want to do on Sundays. He wasn't wrong. I scheduled to see if it worked and it didn't work out. So what do you think I'm going to let go? Well, God is more important to me than family. Family is sometimes our own, you know, downfall.
Right.
We miss church because we want to take the common Sundays and I don't want to come to church because some of them don't serve the Lord and some they do, you know. But they will, Satan will use your family. They're the closest to you. You know why? Because Satan knows that they know you. And they know where your buttons are. And they know what you like. And this, I mean, who more than your wife? Who more than your brother? Who more than your, you know, your family knows who you are and what you are? You grew up with them. So Satan said, well, I need to get the one that is closer. Now, I'm not saying that your family is evil or bad. I didn't say that. Satan, the spirit, will use your family to keep you. Why you have to dress that way? Why can't you do like your boss? I mean, you don't have to. I mean, the outside don't have nothing to do with the inside. Oh, yeah? Well, what is inside is what comes outside anyway. It's not the other way around. But the problem will be those that are closer to you. Those that, it's not going to be the church. It's not going to be your pastor or your brother and sister. They will encourage you to do, to follow God, to walk with God. Is your family won't. And Satan knows it, so they tried to use them to do that. I think that was funny, you know, that I had this here. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Take, you know, do many plans and do in the flesh whatever you want to. And you think you're going to find what you're looking for? No. And he that lose his life for my sake shall find it. So I decide I want to find him, even though I love my family. But I love him more than my family. And that's what he's saying. If you love me more than, you cannot. I love God. And you cannot, you know, like I said, what we had is filial love for our wife, our children. But when you look at filial love, and you look at perfect love, this looks like hate. That's why I said, if you don't hate your mother and your father, he's not saying that you need to hate them. But with the kind of love that we have, you know what a man said? A man with filial love. If a man, if another man comes to attack the wife or do something, he will kill. That filial love will kill another man. See? So when you look at filial love and you look at perfect love, that looks like hate to me. Because he's so corrupted and degraded. See? So that's what he says. Brother Brown says, I could stay here the rest of the day. I can say I could stay here the rest of the night, but you got to go to work and school. I'm retired, so. No. I could stay here the rest of the day. And that Paul says, if I sin, I sin in the spirit. Or you're trying to sin to see who sing the beautiful voice. No, I don't care if you croak like a frog. Sing. I am. Half of the time I forget most of the songs, and but I make the loudest noise. Our sister, Sister Philip. I forgot her name, so I call her Sister Philip. I'm good. You are Mrs. Jesus, so what's wrong with Sister Philip? I'm using the same argument. You want to fight? Go fight with him. I'm loud, I'm nauseous, but I don't care. I just boil it out of my chest. She knows that because I'm behind her every service and I'm her hair goes shh. Every time I sing. I know, she goes, when I hit that high note, she has a perfect pitch. I preach perfect if I can, but I can't. Anyway, I preach in the spirit. I walk in the spirit. I talk in the spirit. So whatever you do, your people, I don't care here, there, everywhere. I don't care with who, what, when. Do it in the spirit. Oh, but brother, they're going to think I'm mystic. You know, like the word that he used this morning. I have it over here too. But he said, let everything be done by the word and the spirit. So, if you don't have nothing good to say, But I said, God bless you. Because if you don't have nothing to say about anything or any situation, might as well just keep your mouth and say, God bless you. I will pray for you. But don't try to help someone just with a concern. One time, a brother was complaining because they was using the music that you play in the church, in the skating rink. We had, you know, in those days, I'm talking years back, they take the young people to the skating rink, and the brother was in charge of that event or that project, and he took it on. But he wasn't, he changed the music to Christian music, to skate. He didn't want to use that rock and roll thing and all that stuff, right? Boy, my brother told me, I ain't saying my children's are that way. Why? Because that music's not for that place. That's for church only, to worship God. I said, okay. Well, I disagree, but I didn't tell him I disagree. You know, and sometimes I came to the understanding that you cannot help another family using your family as an example. Yours is not perfect, and you're going to give somebody else you know. I tried to, but I don't do that. And I found out real quick that what worked for me in my home with my children, it don't work for you in your home with your children. We're different people, with different parents, situations, cultures. And the way I do is the way that I know it works with my children. But it might not work with your children. So what do I tell you to do, what I think you should do with your children? Don't try to tell anybody, please. You know, if I was you, this is what I would do. It won't work. And then they're going to get mad at you because you told them to do that and now it didn't work. Let them figure it out. Let them pray. Let them in the spirit and let God take care of this thing. The best thing you can do is say, God bless you. I will pray for you in that situation and make God make things. Walk in the spirit. Forget about the flesh. Never advise nobody in the flesh because you have some experience. That worked with you, but it might not work with somebody else. Yes, sir. Amen. Romans 12:12 says, and be not conformed to this world. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect. Good, acceptable, and perfect. So we need to go to a transformation. We all need to be transformed from flesh to spirit. We need to start learning how to think in the spirit and not in the flesh. Yes, we do think in the flesh when we go to work. We have to do our thing. We have to wait, you know, but that doesn't mean that you can stay always in that frame of mind, always thinking about God. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that the first mind is not good. It has to be renewed. Amen. This is what Brother Brown said. Be Jesus. But Jesus lived in a world that no one know about. This is what Brother Doug was talking this morning about. He was an odd person. And you say, but if I do all that, you know, then I'm going to look odd to people. And then they're going to mock me. And they're going to, but they're ridiculed. They did Jesus. So what's the difference? They're going to do these children. You see, he lived in a world of perfect faith and perfect God. That's the word that you live. Perfect faith and a perfect God. And in which he was. If we live in the perfect faith of a Christian, see, to what we are, we do be a mystic to the world. See, you're going to look ridiculed to the world at school. You're going to look different because you got a long dress and a long hair and whatever. No long faces though. See? He says that we are mystic to the world. The people wouldn't understand you. Your friends would not understand you. You know? Families don't understand you. But that's okay. Jesus went through that. He said, you walk in the Spirit. What the Spirit says, you would do. You got to live here with that mind frame. Whatever he says, I will do. Even if it's contrary to my flesh. Because your flesh is not going to take you anywhere. Anyway. What I forbid, you would not do. What God forbid, what the Bible forbid, what we will not do. We do what God forbid. In fact, if the Bible says it, I do it. If you don't, we don't do it. Then the people begin to say, "Hey, hey, a mystic person to them." Yeah, he did this morning. That's what brother does. And what is mystic? Kind of supernatural, kind of, you know. They didn't understand him. Said, "If you don't believe believe my words, you know, because they speak of me." But that was too mystic for them. Yeah. When he says, you know, "Want to get rid of the 500, that brother Doug says, "I have to get rid of so many." You know, they were catching the net, but they were not. Right. So he says, "Well, you know, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh." Well, that's mystic. Oh, this guy is a vampire. Ooh. Yeah. They may, you know, you start talking like that, people don't like. "It was my friend." Well, those are not friends. Never were friends. John 8:23. "And he said unto them, 'You are from beneath,'" Jesus says, "'and I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world.'" You are not of this world. So don't act like this world, because you're not of this world. You are from another world, and you have a representation in that world. That's why you need to act like that one. See, because that one wants to come back and take his body, and he's waiting for you to be changed completely to the image of that one that is waiting for you. "You are in the world, and I'm not of this world." See, we are looking for another world, living, you know, we are looking for heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's why we sing, "This world is not my own." So if this is not my world, and this is, I have nothing to do, why would I fashion myself after this world? Ain't going nowhere. Destruction. I want to fashion myself. I'm a representation of that world. That's what I want. One more. I'm getting dangerous close to here. "But one spirit, we are baptized in the body." And that's how you start conforming. Okay? Because without the spirit, you cannot conform. He said, "Born of the spirit, then we belong to the kingdom. And our lives are not Americans, we are not Germans, we are not nothing, we are not Christian, we are not from Spain, we are not from Puerto Rico." See? "We are settled and walk in the spirit. We are love slave." You get that? You one time we were slave of the devil, now you're slave of love. "From the thing of the world and our right to the world. We have sold out and bought this pearl of the great price." So the dog was talking about that. "Walk and letting the Holy Spirit manifest himself." God wants to manifest himself to you, and he's waiting for you to give him the liberty to take his rightful place. Why were you holding so much? It's the best thing for you to let him appear. One of these days, Jesus Christ will appear. That's before he will appear in what? In flesh. Before we leave here. It won't be no more Eli. You won't see Eli. You will see the apparition of our Lord Jesus Christ in flesh. And then we be out of here. But nobody's looking for that. Are you looking to see Jesus Christ in your flesh? Then try it every day. And one of these days, it will happen. But if we're not trying, if we're too involved with the things and the things of the world, wake up. Let's concentrate. Well, we need to concentrate in the walk. He said, "From this world and our right to the world, we have sold out and bought this pearl of great price," blah, blah, blah. He says, that's what his real church is. That's what you are, what I am. What he is, that's what we are. In earth, and he is in heaven. Right? So we should be acting like him. This guy, dead. Father, I'm sick and tired of this guy. You know? I want the rapture to happen so I can drop this guy. I said, bye-bye. I'm done with you. You know? Because I got another body prepared for me. It's not this one. It's a heavenly one. I'm tired of this guy. He says, that's what you are, what I am. If we let ourselves to go and serve God. If we, it's a choice, young people. You choose to serve God or not to serve God. Nobody's pushing you. Nobody's forcing you. And God would not even do that. It's a choice to live a life that is pleasing to God every day. It's a choice. We're not going to force you. We're not going to make you. But we tell you the truth. And you have to make a choice. Flesh or spirit? Which one is going to control me when I open my eyes tomorrow morning and I take that breath? Who is going to control me? You know, I put 100% my life in Him when I wake up tomorrow. It's getting a little fuzzy right now. The Spirit is here. And He's talking to someone's heart. That's what is real church is. Okay? Notice, the anointed man, the Christ Himself here, oh God, is made known. But now look, But now, wow, he has the preeminence. He has the preeminence. Do you come to church to let it have his preeminence? Or you try to come to church to have your way? Are you going to let God have preeminence in every day, every step? Keep every step with the Spirit that is the title. Are you going to take every step and let it have his way? Or your way. Your way is no way. To begin with. So don't try. I already know it's no way. Your way is no way. It says, preeminence. Ain't that why we came to church? Don't we want the Word of God to take preeminence over my thoughts, my heart, my body, my stuff, whatever I do in deed or in word, whatever, let it be what? Him in control. God has how many of you guys pray today? God has preeminence in me. Did you even say the words? God, I'm here. Now take over. Amen. If that was your prayer this morning when you came to church? Or when you woke up? Or was like, it's my coffee. That's what I will do. Don't talk to me until I got my first cup of coffee. Well, I prefer Jesus than my coffee anyway. God fully manifested in Jesus Christ. God's great secret of his revelation. You want more revelation? You need to, then the revelation in you that is the true revelation will produce what? Him in flesh. Now, there's a lot of people that are very revelated, but they're not producing Jesus. If you get a revelation, the more revelation, the Bible says, the more that we need is more revelation. Why? The more revelation, the closer you get to God, because the more you know God. And that's why we are here. The whole journey is to manifest God in flesh. That requires revelation. And if God revealed us to you, you're getting a step closer. God fully manifested in Jesus Christ, God's great secret of his revelation. Every time that we obey God, every time we do God's will and desire, every time we do his bidding, you are manifesting God in flesh. That's not difficult. Well, it's difficult for the flesh, because the flesh don't want to let go. But you're going to have to kill that guy. Sit down and shut up. You give me a hard time, this is my time. I don't want to hear about you. I want to hear about somebody else. Let me, just a few minutes, the love slave. I want to get there. Because one time we were slave to Satan, but now we're slave to love. Romans 6:16. Now, ye not, that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whatever is seen or dead, or obedience or righteousness. So whatever you yield yourself, that is your master. See how bodies need to go that route? If you obey your flesh, then who is the master? Whatever sin unto death, obedience unto righteousness. Either or. Whatever way you yield yourself, your life will produce. And you will know, because by the fruit we shall know him, if you are producing Christ or you are producing death. You know, in this body, I want God. And I will do everything in my power. Because that's what I want. That's what I desire. I made mistakes, sure. I gave choices, sure. But he forgave me and we move on. You don't have to stay in that. God wants us to obey him because we love him. He won't force us. Now, John 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments, then God will share his love abroad. So, that's a way I can tell if I love God. Because the way you love me, you love God. And some people, you know, in this message and out of the message, they have a wrong perception of what love is. Oh, I love God. God and me, like that. But they don't want no fellowship with the brother. They're lying. Because see, you love God. And this is the whole thing here. That God loves your brother. And God loves you. So what you love is not so much your brother. You love the God in your brother. Now you're telling me that he don't have God because you don't love him? If he's your brother, you must love him. In fact, let's go a little further. You should love your enemy that is not your brother. Now, I understand we are flesh and we got natural desires. I understand that. We want food and intimacy. We want to be loved. We want to take care. We want financial security. Yeah, but if we are not careful, we can fall in temptation because Satan used all those things to tempt us. You know, those are natural desires. There's nothing wrong with drinking and eating. But be careful. Don't make that your master. Oh, let's go to this pizzeria and let's eat until we blow up. That's a sin. You know, I used to tell the family, eat. The more you eat, the cheaper it gets the plate. Because I'm paying one price for that plate. So the more I eat, the cheaper it comes, right? But you have to be careful. Gluttony is a sin. You know, I like to eat too, though. I used to, and now my stomach got smaller, so I cannot put much stuff in it now. You know, unless I borrow some, or maybe I can ask the doctor to make a weight so the food will fall to the feet down there from here. Then I can feel from the feet up. Forget it. He said, sense, and God uses your senses, you know, your stomach, your eyes, your hand, you know, to tempt us, you know. But if we make a mistake, I know we make mistakes. I know we make errors. I know we make choices and decisions. But you know what? Just ask God to forgive you. Get up and move on. Move out. You know, Brother Brown said, I made mistakes. We all made mistakes. But what I'm saying is, do not overestimate your enemy. Your enemy number one. James 3:6. One more. And the tongue is a fire. Give me 2 minutes. A word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. That is defile the whole body. And seated on fire, and set it on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. You know what? And a tongue is something that no one can tame. But God can tame the tongue. Because sometimes we say, well, I don't do nothing wrong. I don't steal. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't curse. But what about your tongue? You can kill somebody with your tongue. You know that? You can set on fire. So what I'm talking about is this. And I will finish. The power of these words in your tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen. That little instrument. Huh? So be careful. Be careful. What we said. Okay? If you don't have nothing good to say and you don't understand the problem and maybe something happens and, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. If you don't understand something, don't say nothing. Don't get into it. Because your actions, what you can say, you can offend your brother. Or you can offend. This is what I'm talking about. It is what Brother Doug said this morning. Sometimes, out of reflection, or out of the spur of the moment, somebody do something and they will respond back. Be careful. Because if you don't control yourself, you don't know what's come out of your mouth. And you can offend somebody. Satan knows that. Some Christians are quick draw. Right away. Respond back without thinking. Bypassing. The helmet. Take the helmet. Here it goes. So what I'm saying, as human beings, we are being conditioned. From the very beginning, to act certain way. That condition came from your father, from school, from the TV and the thing we watch, and we were in condition a long time. Then we come to the Lord, and now you have to be reconditioned. But if you're not careful, your wife pushed the right button, and you just whatever comes to mind, whoop, here you go. Be careful. All I'm saying is, before you say something, think. Think what that thought is going to take you or somebody else. Because that is the thing that sometimes happens to human beings, like me too, that we are quick to respond. If somebody asks you, usually I used to respond, somebody has a biblical question, and then, what do you think this verse means? Now I got a little wiser. I would tell, I said, why don't you give me some time? And let me research and let me see and I'll tell you. But be careful what, your opinions and your ideas comes out. If you don't know, just say, I don't know. Because your tongue can hurt people. We can get rid of at least 75% of our problem if we control our tongue. In fact, James says, if you can do it, you just are a perfect one, human being. So all you have to control is your response to a situation. You cannot control what people do to you, but you can control what comes out of your mouth. It can kill or it can bless. Stand. I have a little few more, but I decided that instead of closer, we're done. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful that you allow me to stand here and give me the strength and give me, Father, the words in my heart to speak to your people. I don't know what is in their hearts, but you do. And just stand here, open my mouth and let you feel it. And I just pray that I got myself out of the way, Father. So your thoughts may permeate this building, Father, and they edify or help someone in this congregation, Father. That is my desire, just to help in some kind of way. Father, we love you. We thank you. Again, Father, it has been a wonderful Sunday, Father, from beginning to end. And tomorrow is Monday. The devil is at the door waiting. What are we going to do? Walk in the flesh or walk in the spirit? It's a choice. And it's a choice that we have to make every day. This is not a one-time choice 40 years ago. This is an every day choice. In fact, sometimes it's every minute we're confronted with choices. Every second we're confronted with situation. The way we choose to respond will determine the outcome of our the situations. And I sure don't want to hurt anybody. I sure don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody, Father. Father, I want to make sure, Father, that as I walk in the Spirit, I will speak in the Spirit, I will talk in the Spirit, I will sing in the Spirit, and everything that I do, it will be in the Spirit of God. That is our desire tonight, Father. That means that you are reflecting yourself to flesh. We're just the flesh, we're just the test tube, and you are the source, the power, the life that moves this body. Father, Satan has no business no longer. We belong to you. We love you and we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, now I pray for Andy, our brother Andy, to give him a safe passage back home to the family. Be with those that are sick and afflicted, because as we read, Father, the desire, the desires of our heart, that is your word, if we keep it, Father, in our thoughts, in our hearts, the Holy Spirit will make him come true, Father. We thank you for you being our Father. We thank you for you being our God, our husband. We thank you for you being our healer. Father, you owe to me, to us tonight. And we can go home, Father, lay in bed, Father, knowing that you are the one that keeps us, Father. You're the one that protects us. You're the only one that blesses us. You're the only one that provides for your children. Father, we depend on you, Father, and we trust you tonight. Thank you for your word spoken today. Now, Father, let it not go in deaf ears, but let it fall in a heart that is ready and wanting and waiting to do what you bid them to do, Father. Father, we are so showing out with you. You're such a great God. Such a great Father. You're such a great husband. Thank you for loving and caring for me. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. Be with God. Thank you.